Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. We are studying about making friends for God. And if you need to be a friend with God, this lesson's for you too. We're talking about prayer power, interceding for others. You might say, I need prayer today. Well, we can pray for each other. And the greatest prayer is that we would find a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you joined us today. Continuing our series, Making Friends for God. And it's been an amazing series, hasn't it?
Amen.
And I'm excited because you see, Travis is one of our teams going to be teaching today. Travis, I know you've got a testimony of how prayer power made a difference in your life. And I'm sure you do too as viewers. We'd love to hear from you how someone praying for you changed the direction of your life. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We're always so happy to hear from you. Here's a note from Beverly in Florida. She says, I thank God for Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
I like the interactive study because the Holy Spirit reveals to each one different insights from the scriptures which point to Jesus.
Amen.
Also, I receive revelation which gives clearer understanding and wisdom. I look forward to study 6 days a week at 6 a.m. with you all. Amen?
Amen?
May God continue to bless you as you share His words. Well, Beverly, thanks for writing to us from Florida. You're getting up early to fill your mind with the Word of God. From Northeast India, Ajahn writes. Ajahn says, Hope Sabbath School is a wonderful panel discussion. By this, I'm experiencing God's blessings and clearing my doubt.
Mm. Praise God.
Thank you for everyone involved in this ministry. God bless you all. Ajahn from Northeast India. That's the region from where one of our team, Puya, is from that part of India. So we're glad you're part of our family, Ajahn. Here's a note from a donor in West Virginia. And the donor writes and says, a couple actually, my husband and I really enjoy Hope Sabbath School and other programs on Hope TV. I believe time is of the essence in sharing the gospel. Do you believe that?
I do. Amen.
Time is of the essence. As we see current world events unfolding, here's a gift to continue the good work and a gift of $2,000 for Hope Sabbath School. We are part of a great miracle of God, and we want to thank you. This is a donor-supported ministry. We believe God is touching hearts, and we thank you from West Virginia for that partnership in ministry. From Raymond in Panama, and Raymond says, blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm Raymond from Panama, an elder in my church and a Sabbath school teacher. I love and enjoy Hope Sabbath School. I learn more and more every day of God's love toward us through Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'd love to meet all of you in heaven when Jesus comes. I also rejoice with the theme songs from the scripture. I share the lessons with my class. Greetings to Tricia Lee and everybody else. Well, Tricia Lee, you just got greetings from Panama. The Lord be with everyone, and I'll meet you in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Raymond, we're looking forward to meeting you too. You sound like you're full of the joy of the Lord, and that's beautiful. One last note from Simone in Jamaica. We have lots of people from Jamaica, but we've got two wanting to wave right now. Yes, we're getting a wave to Simone. I'm grateful for Hope Sabbath School. It teaches me how to study the Bible.
Amen.
I love the scripture songs. Beautiful. Keep up the good work. Thanks to the members for taking time out to share with us. Continue to shine for Jesus.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Simone, for writing to us from Jamaica. And actually, those scripture songs that you like, we're going to sing one right now. It's from Psalm 105. The first five verses. It's a happy song. I hope you've learned it. You can download the MP3 file and you can download the sheet music from hopetv.org/hopeSS. Let's sing it together.
To the Lord, call upon His name.
among the people, sing songs to him. Talk of all his wondrous words, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who sing his love.
Amen. Amen. Travis, lead us in prayer as we begin our study today.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here. We're grateful to discuss this amazing topic and intercession for others. Father, we know that Jesus was our example as an intercessor. Mm-hmm. And as our great mediator, we know we have somebody to go to in our time of need. Mm-hmm. So, Father, help us to learn from the Bible, from the experience and from the examples of Jesus, how we can intercede for others. That's my prayer. Please send the Holy Spirit to be here as we study. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I'd like to begin with a story. When I was about 15 years old, I didn't go to church anymore, and I started to take a different path, contrary to the path that God would have me to take. And my grandmother was a prayer warrior. I knew that growing up. But I would see her from time to time, maybe once every 2 years or so, and she would always pray for me, and it bothered me. You know, it bothered me, and I'm ashamed to say that, but it did. It bothered me. And I remember right before she died, I was just starting to read my Bible again, and it was just actually yesterday, Derek, we were sharing photos that a sister-in-law, Shina, had sent me. My grandmother was there, and I remembered that she had prayed for me, and she had reminded me, and I started to think last night while I was laying in bed, I can't wait till I'm in heaven, and I get to thank her for praying for me.
Amen.
And it just touched my heart, and I thought, that's a great way to start this study. and so I'm going to ask the question, why did my grandmother need to pray for me? Mm-hmm. What, Tricia Lee?
Well, there's two reasons. She loved you, and she knew the power of prayer.
Amen. So what was she praying for?
We're in a battle. I mean, the Bible tells us that there's a battle between good and evil, and we need all the help we can possibly get. And praying for someone else is asking God to move on their behalf.
So she knew that God wasn't my leader anymore, right? That I was following something, as I mentioned, contrary to the gospel. Did you have something to say, Jason?
It kind of gives God extra permission or extra, he even used the word incentive, he wants to involve himself, but when someone specifically asks, it makes God want to move even more.
I'm thinking in that great battle Chuck's talking about, the enemy says, how dare you intervene so actively in Travis's life? And he can say, his faithful grandmother prayed for him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're not changing God's heart.
That's right.
But in this great battle, interceding for someone in the name of Jesus is powerful.
It is. And I understand the power of that now. And so I want to talk a little bit more about this cosmic battle, this great controversy that we're in over good and evil. The fight is over you and I, right? God loves us, and Jesus came to save us from our sins, and Satan is on the opposite, and he's pulling and trying to persuade us to follow him, right? And I want to read a little bit more about this in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, 7 through 9. And Laurel, if you don't mind beginning our study from the Bible, would you read that for us?
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him.
So this war that's talked about, the word in the Greek is polemos. It's not this physical war, right? What is this war? What is this war taking place?
Spiritual battle.
Trevor.
Taking place in heaven, but it's a battle for our souls. Mm. You have Satan on one side trying to bring us down, and you have the Father fighting for us on our behalf.
So it's something we can't see physically, right? Tricia Lee?
I was going to say, it does have real visible effects here on earth. Yes. We're told, woe to you, you know, the devil has come down. And we see it playing out. The evil in our world, that doesn't come from God. That's from the forces of darkness. And so the trials that we face often have a spiritual realm behind that. Yes.
I think it's a war of words, but it's God speaking love and truth.
Yes.
And it's Satan speaking lies. Jesus called him the father of lies, right? Yeah. Right? Yes. And hatred, even murder. And there's this contention to where God says it's not possible for this rebellion to stay in heaven.
And the response of Michael or Jesus is always love, right? Satan is making accusations, and Jesus responds with love, leading by example, showing us how much he loves each and every one of us. Yes. Well, we get an example of this in Daniel chapter 10, and I'd like if one of us would go, Jonathan, if you wouldn't mind reading from Daniel chapter 10, we're going to take another look into this cosmic conflict that's happening. If you wouldn't mind reading verses 10 through 14.
All right. Daniel 10, verses
10 through 14.
All right. Reading from the New International Version. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, and consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come.
So Daniel was mourning and fasting for 3 weeks prior to this, and we learned from the scriptures that it's most likely that his prayer was answered immediately, but help didn't come necessarily right away. And so then we get this picture of this cosmic battle going on behind the scenes. Can we talk a little bit about what is taking place here? Go ahead, Jonathan.
I've heard two theories, which to me both sound, maybe they're a combination of both, that somewhat there's this battle in the mind of the Persian king, and that there's a spiritual thing. That's what the focus on is, like, can I convince the king this way, or versus the devil's trying to convince him the other way, or that is talking about a spiritual territory. That there's a leader, a spiritual leader of a territory. So I've heard both ways, and I can see light on both sides. But certainly it's a spiritual issue going on.
So it's a spiritual issue. Go ahead.
Yes, just building off what Jonathan shared, certainly there's a spiritual battle taking place, because who would be contending with Gabriel, an archangel? And who, if Michael's the only one that can come and help, we're really looking at strong supernatural forces. So this is the devil fighting against Michael, who knows the Son of God, and Gabriel. But as Jonathan mentioned, the context is around what's going to happen to God's people and what decisions are being made at this time. We know that they're trying to rebuild the temple. They're trying to do a lot of important things. And so the devil and Michael and Gabriel are fighting a spiritual battle, But we also see things play out in decisions that we make here. So I agree with Jonathan that it is a true spiritual battle, but there are some consequences in real life that we see.
And we learn from reading Daniel that he was studying Jeremiah. The end of the captivity was 70 years, was about that time. And also there was the beginning of the rebuilding of the sanctuary that was prophesied. So we know that there was some time issues that were taking place that had to do specifically with that king.
Yes.
And so there's this battle. Satan wants to change time. God says, no, it's going to happen. And through influence, God works things out. But God answers his prayer. So in the midst of this conflict that we're in, we need some supernatural protection.
Yes.
Right? And that's going to take us to the book of Ephesians. And so I would like somebody to read Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13. And verse 18, and we're going to talk about this supernatural protection. Jason, it looks like you're ready. Would you read for us?
Sure. Reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, and verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Thank you, Jason. And this reminds me, you know, one time I was had a disagreement with a family member, and a friend of mine told me they're not the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we can get into arguments with people or disagreements with people, but that has always stuck in my mind. Amen. They're not the enemy.
Right.
This is supernatural, and we need supernatural help.
Amen.
And so God has asked us to do what? Put on
the whole armor
of God, and also to be watchful and pray. We see that theme in Scripture, to watch and pray. We'll read about that in a little bit here. But what other ways, what other things did you pick up from Ephesians? What can we do to protect ourselves in this conflict that's going on? Chuck.
Kind of to tack on to what you said, the war, the armament that we're supposed to put on isn't physical. It's spiritual. And so we're not supposed to, the weapons we're supposed to be using in our lives are not physical weapons. We're not attacking physical enemies. We need spiritual weapons because we're in spiritual warfare. And that really stuck out to me as you're describing it.
Thank you. Eric.
And that it says to stay alert and be persistent. We have to keep persistently playing. We cannot just pray once and then say, oh, it will take care of it. No, we have to persistently do so.
In Romans, Paul talks about the armor of light.
Yes.
Parallels the armor of God. And in the same passage, he says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In other words, this battle, you're not capable of fighting this battle. Right. But stand under
the banner
of Jesus, under his glorious covering, and you're safe there. But I am glad you included verse 18.
Yes.
Sometimes we think, oh, God, please protect me. But Paul says, but don't stop there. Pray.
Yes.
All kinds of prayers for all the saints. And that's what we're talking about, prayer power, interceding for others.
And I like that he says to watch, too, because we don't even want to put one foot on that ground. It's best to just pray. Watch and pray. Yeah. So this is going to lead me into asking a question, or it's testimony time. So when was it that you discovered that this battle was real? So we have any testimonies? Officially?
You know, there are times when I'm just going about my day, you know, doing my Trisha Lee thing, and a thought will come to my mind, and I think, have mercy. That is not something that is usual in my course of thinking or doing, and I know it did not come from heaven. And so those thoughts or those types of things, instances remind me, that's an evil thought. Mm. No way around it. That's evil that just came into my mind. And when that happens, I realize there is no, this is not a passive war. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit back and say, I don't want to put on the armor. I don't really want to pray. If I just stay to myself, I'm okay. I'm safe. We're told the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And if we don't have any armor on, right, we are just open to anything that can come into our mind that we decide to dwell on or act on or share with somebody else. But that's when I know that this is a real battle. When those thoughts pop out of nowhere, you're like, what in the world? Mm. That's the enemy looking for people, looking for someone to agree and act on or dwell on those things.
That's right. Anybody else with a testimony? Nicole.
Well, I find it's real when, you know, I have the intention of doing something for God, whether it's studying my Bible, and it seems like at that moment I'm exhausted. And all I want to do is go to sleep. And so I open the Word and I'm falling asleep. And I know that that is not something I want to do, but it's because the devil is really, he's fighting for us. He's fighting and he's trying to devour us. That whenever we have something in us that wants to do good, he puts something in our way that just distracts us from doing that good. So that for me is very real.
So how does prayer allow God to accomplish his will in this great cosmic conflict?
Alex. I think it was kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, but it gives God and angels permission to work on our behalf.
Yes, that's right.
To work on behalf of the person we're praying for also. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alex. Eric.
In addition to what he just said, we have the freedom of choice. That's one of the things that God gave us, that's the freedom to choose. Now, the Lord's Prayer does it very well. At the very beginning, it says, may your will be done on earth. When we pray, we allow God's will to be done on earth and to take over our will.
Yes.
Take over what, you know, that choice that we have, you know, to do whatever, to make whatever choice we want. We relinquish that choice back to God.
Amen. Amen.
So God, someone told me, God is a gentleman.
Yeah.
He doesn't force. He doesn't force. And so prayer is like the opening up the soul to God.
Yes.
And so it's like giving him permission to intercede on our behalf, right?
Absolutely. Amen.
And so we can gain spiritual strength and emotional strength by that connection through prayer, right? Mm, yes. All right. Well, we have to move on. We're going to talk about the ultimate prayer warrior, Jesus. We're going to talk about the power of prayer in our life. And I don't think there's a better example in the Bible than Jesus himself,
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to have somebody read from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Trevor, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. This is the inauguration of our great high priest, the anointing of Jesus.
Luke chapter 3, and I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. And you said verses?
Verses 21 and 22.
21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.
That's amazing. So we see the power of prayer. Jesus was intentional about prayer. And not only that, I'm going to show you later on in the study how he believed what he prayed. We already know that, but I'm going to show you an experience and an example.
You know, a lot of people have heard baptized, Holy Spirit descends like a dove. But it's interesting here that Luke points out while he prayed. So he's baptized and he's praying. And while he prayed, the Holy Spirit descended. So, you know, now was he just praying for himself? Or was he praying, Father, I'm beginning the mission here, right?
Right.
And the Holy Spirit rests upon him to empower him for that mission. He's praying for others.
That's right.
But while he prayed, the blessing came.
That's right. God, and we learned that from the book of Daniel. While you were praying, there was help on the way.
Amen.
We just studied that a while ago. Let's stay in the same book, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Another example of the great prayer warrior in the Bible, Jesus. Samiso, could you read that for us?
Sure. Luke 5, verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed.
So the prayer life of Jesus was something he did often, right? Let's also read from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Derek, while you were reading from one of the one of our viewers, this verse reminded me of Beverly.
Okay.
She got up at 6 a.m. Yeah. So I thought about that as we were reading Beverly's letter that, you know, she was taking the example of Jesus, you know, getting up to worship early in the morning. Could I have, Chuck, would you read that, please?
Sure. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 in the New King James Version. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed.
So Jesus didn't only just pray often, he prayed early, and he prayed for others. Prayer was a huge part of the ministry of Jesus. It was one of the staples in his ministry.
Right.
He had to pray. And we're going to have more examples. Stephanie, you had a comment?
Yeah, in a place where there was no distraction. It was a solitary place.
And that's a great thing about praying in the morning, right? Sometimes even if you go outside in the morning, you know, the only things you hear, maybe the frogs or crickets or, you know, it's beautiful to pray when it's peaceful. I have two hands. Billy, I'll get you first.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I like the fact that you picked that passage because the night before, Jesus was working all night healing people. And then he prayed and his next action was not to go back and heal people, but to preach. So basically the prayer also helped him, you know, refocus on, you know, what's his purpose on life. And I think we need that. We may be busy, so busy and doing something. And then when we pray, God help us refocus on why we're here. And that caused Jesus to say, no, my job is to go to the next town so that I can continue preaching the gospel.
And we see the same time, you know, the same thing with Mary and Martha in the story where Jesus is coming to Bethany and Mary spends time at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's busy preparing for Jesus to get things ready. But sometimes, even in ministry, we need to take time to spend at the feet of Jesus in prayer, right? And so we can get lost and wrapped up in work, but we need to take that time, set it aside. Trevor?
That was exactly my point. It's like Jesus is trying to tell us, if I'm praying, how much more do you need to? I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. And you see in the Word how I pray often. So it just lets us know that we cannot let distractions get in the way. We must pray. It's a life and death situation.
Trevor, I think the disciples seen something the same way you did because they asked Jesus how to pray. And so I'm going to ask the question. Well, first let's read from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And then I'm going to ask the question, what motivated the disciples? And I think we may have already got the answer to ask Jesus how to pray. Right. Okay. And let's see, who hasn't read yet? Nicole, would you read?
The New International Version of Luke 11, 1 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.
So what motivated the disciples to ask Jesus this question?
Admiration.
Admiration, okay.
I think they saw the results of his prayers.
I do too. I was thinking, you know, they saw something different in the life of Jesus. Compassion, we just talked about that in an earlier study, the woman at the well. And they were, I think, in the evenings probably sat back and thought, this man is amazing.
Right.
But then they see, what is it? It's the connection with the Father.
Right.
And they see his prayer life, and they're like, okay, what's going on here?
And I'm sure they prayed, but they're saying, teach us to pray like you pray.
Yes.
They were wanting to move to another level in their communion with the Father.
Sure. I agree with that, Derek. Anybody else? Why? Yeah, Samiso.
So I'm sure he prayed with his disciples often, like we might pray with our families often. But Jesus took some time by himself to pray. So sometimes we're involved in corporate prayer, but it's important to also have individual prayer time.
And Jesus cared about prayer, too. He encouraged his disciples to pray. I want to read about one of those circumstances. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Now, it mentions that he was told Peter, but I believe that he was talking to all disciples. Peter specifically, because of a story that we'll talk about later that happened in Luke, and we talked about in one of our earlier studies, where Satan wants to sift Peter like wheat, right? But I really believe that this instruction was for all of the disciples. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Eric, would you read that for me?
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak."
So in the context of this, Peter had just been told, and we can read about that in Luke, that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. And Jesus, and we're going to read about that later, says, "I prayed that your faith should not fail." And the first thing that Peter says, "Lord, I'm ready." He was confident in himself. And Jesus is saying, "Watch and pray, because I know you're willing, but you're weak." And so it's a spiritual battle. We're in a cosmic conflict. And it's good to recognize that. So I have another question. So how is your life impacted by the realization that Jesus prays for you? We're going to read, let's read first from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We find even in John 17 that Jesus prays, and many times we see other places where he prays for people and prays for us. But to know that, to see time and time again that Jesus' prayers are answered, and then to see intercession, and understand that he's praying on our behalf, that really has value to it, doesn't it? So, Alex, could you read from us from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and then let's discuss that.
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them."
That's his goal. He ever liveth. To intercede on your behalf. He came to seek and save the lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He lives daily. When you're going through a struggle, he's living. He's waiting for that prayer to come so he can intercede on your behalf. Confess your name before the Father. Amen. Is that amazing? How does that impact you? Nicole.
Well, I'm going to say that it impacts me because I know that in Christ I have power.
Yes.
And only through him is the power realized to others. And so I'm very thankful that in my weakest states, God and his prayers gives me power to live his will in my life.
Amen. Anyone else impacted by that thought that Jesus is interceding? Tricia Lee.
I mean, maybe it's a little not unrelated, but what I'm thinking about is that Jesus was very clear on where his power came from, where his direction came from, and who he was speaking to. When he said, "My Father," he wasn't talking about some universal being, that mysterious entity that we cannot know and pray and talk to. And I say that because I have friends who say they pray or say they practice prayer or meditation or certain types of things. But it's important that what we're talking about as Christians is a living, real connection with our Father in heaven. And that's different because I think that people can practice prayer or practice prayer-like rituals, but there's no power in it because it's not connected to the one that Jesus was teaching us to intercede with, which is the Father. And so I'm just impressed in that it's not about the act, but it's about the person that we are connecting to.
It's about the source of
power. It's the source of the power. So I'm glad that Jesus intercedes on my behalf, and I'm glad that he taught me that I can be connected through him to that same source of power.
And I imagine that there's some of us, Chuck, you looks like you have a comment.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So we have Jesus who's all powerful.
Yes.
He's all knowing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yet he spends so much time praying.
Amen.
It's amazing to me because sometimes I wonder why I don't pray more. Because when ministry needs to be done, Jesus prays. Sometimes when ministry needs to be done, we do. But really what we can follow the example of Jesus here, I mean, yes, it's amazing that he's interceding for me, but it's also an example that when things get difficult, it's not a chance for me to say, okay, let me chart how I'm going to solve this problem. It's a chance for me to say, God, God, what do I need to do? Yeah. Would you please move on my behalf? Would your kingdom come in my life, in the ministry I'm connected with?
Amen.
You're getting me excited. I want to move forward into another, something I discovered in the lesson, one of the verses, but I'm going to hold off. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm thinking from the perspective of, as human beings, we have this predisposition to sin. That's really just how, just from Adam, that's how we are. That's, we are born in sin and we are just sinful in nature. We have little power over that, if at all. Mm-hmm. And knowing that Jesus is interceding for us, that even when we fall prey to those desires, those our nature, our true nature, that all is not lost.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because there's someone who is praying for us, who actually wants us to be with him. Amen. And sons and sons and daughters of his kingdom.
Amen. I was thinking of John chapter 5. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. We're powerless without being connected to the vine. And that vine is interceding on our behalf. He wants to give us the power to conquer sin in our life. And he wants us to live happy and be happy, Derek.
So I'm just thinking, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation.
Yes. Right.
So he's not just praying, well, I messed up again, but please forgive him. He's praying for the transformation that is possible when we have a living connection.
And promised.
Absolutely.
And promised.
And it's not to earn his love. He loves us.
Amen.
Everlasting love. Amen. And that's why he's praying on our behalf. He is interceding. He and the Father are in constant communication. It's not like he's kneeling down somewhere. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are in constant communication because they love us and want us to be with them forever.
Derek, you made a great point there, because the love of Jesus is not based on our mishaps or our successes.
That's right.
He loves us with an immeasurable, unfailing love. He loves us in spite of our failures and our successes. Amen. And that's the God we serve. That's the God that's interceding on our behalf. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about another prayer warrior in the Bible, Paul. And we're going to turn to Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Billy, I don't think you read yet. Could I ask you to read that for us, please?
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version, Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 19. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that in what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power."
Amen. So what are some of the specific requests of this intercessory prayer? Chuck?
This is spiritual request. This is not, please give them a mansion or please give them a brand new car. This is, help them to, first of all, he's thanking God for their ministry or what they are doing. And then he's specifically saying, help them to see what they're going to have in you. Beautiful.
You know, it's interesting that he prays for their wisdom and he prays for understanding.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And immediately I thought of King Solomon, right?
Yes.
And then I thought of James chapter 1, verse 5. God loves to bestow wisdom on his children.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And so we know that that's according to God's will. We should be praying for each other for wisdom, right? And that's really exciting. Paul understood that, and he's praying for his... for his fellow companions and servants.
And what we read earlier in Ephesians 6 about praying in the Spirit, I think we're not preoccupied with earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
We're preoccupied with things of eternal value.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're praying for the salvation of a person. We're praying for a spirit of wisdom, for revelation, that they would know how much God loves them. Because those are the things that the Spirit of God wants that person to experience more than any material thing.
Yes.
You know, the last request is for the riches of glory.
Yeah.
He wants them to understand the riches of the glory
That's
of
salvation.
God. That's amazing. That Stephanie, did you have something to
no,
say?
That's good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to another prayer in Philippians. Jason, I'm going to ask you to read this one, if you wouldn't mind doing that for us. Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 11. Paul was facing some hard times here, but he prays. And he says, and it seems like he's praying joyfully, even through these struggles. Let's see what's going on here. Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 11.
And I'm reading here from the New King James Version. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
You know, as you were reading that, Jason, I started to think about our last study, about seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And how he says, being confident of this very thing, he who's begun a good work in you will complete it. He saw people in a different light, Paul did. Mm-hmm. He saw them for what Jesus could do in them.
Amen. Yes.
And that was amazing to me, Stephanie.
His confidence was in God.
That's right.
To complete the work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was in God. He knew that God could do it.
Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. He had confidence in what Jesus could do in the life of a sinner.
Yes. And again, what comes out here is that true intercession is motivated by love. Mm-hmm. He says, I have you in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that your love would abound more and still more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful reflection of the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray with love in our hearts for other people, for God to bless them with all spiritual blessings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Billy.
So back then, obviously, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have email. So, but, you know, the context was that, you know, Paul was busy. He was going around preaching, teaching, and even in his busyness, he took time out to pray for people and also to write to them, mm-hmm. the Philippi. And they understand that Paul is a busy man, but the fact that he took time out to pray for them and also let him know that, hey, I'm praying for you. It's also a reflection of, you know, do we do the same thing today? Are we so caught up with work, with school, that we don't even take some time out to pray, or even send a text of encouragement? And some people feed on that because I think Philippi, they were facing a lot of hardship. So these words of encouragement, I think we have a responsibility to encourage our sisters and brothers, and even people who are not part of the church, saying that, hey, you know, you crossed my mind. Let me check up on you. I'm praying for you.
Amen.
And I think that's a good example that we need to follow.
Yeah. Amen.
Good
application. I agree with that. So this is really powerful. The life of the prayer life of Jesus is the most powerful. But here we see somebody who had direct interaction with Jesus, praying for others, counting it joy, suffering some of the same things that Jesus did, you know, in chains. And we can read a whole list of things that Paul went through. But he was dedicated to sharing this good news. And he believed in his message. What other passages in Paul's writings emphasize the importance of prayer? Do we have any other passages you could think of? Tricia Lee?
There's a verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 that I can read.
Would you read that for us?
Sure. Colossians 4, verse 2, and reading from the New King James Version. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
Actually, I would want, could you read verse 12 as well?
Oh, certainly.
While she's looking for that, you talked about being watchful. Mm-hmm. That's what the word vigilant means. So when we pray continue earnestly, we need to be expecting that God's going to work. Yes. Because we're praying under the authority of Jesus in his name. Mm-hmm. So being watchful and with a thankful heart, even when we haven't seen the answer yet.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Mm. So I was, as I was reading that, he taught prayer to other people as well.
Sure.
And as students of Scripture and understanding the intercession, Jesus' intercession for us, we should teach other people about the power of prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really important. When we can teach someone to tap into that kind of power, that's life-changing.
Amen.
Right? Anybody else? Yeah.
It's really interesting that the thing you can offer someone is something that costs you nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It costs you nothing to intercede on behalf of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And in interceding, you have to be thinking about someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not thinking about other people, there's no way you're going to intercede on behalf of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is relationships and thinking about other people.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And one more verse. Could we get another? Yeah.
Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just tells us to pray without ceasing.
Mm. Do you want to read that for us, Alex?
Yes.
Well, that's it.
Pray without ceasing.
But, you know, I think of where the psalmist says in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me.
Mm. Yes.
Because when we have him before us and we know how much he loves all of his children, then we're going to want to intercede for them.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And we'll pray without ceasing, which is an interesting thought. Because we have other work to do, we have jobs, but we can always have an attitude of prayer. We're open, even while we're doing our work, we pause and we say, God bless my companion. God bless my brother or my sister. And that, I think, is that walking with God that it talks about with Enoch, praying without ceasing, constant communion.
Living in the atmosphere of prayer.
Of prayer.
Right. Well, we have to move on to the last part of our study. This is where I wanted to spend the most time. This was an amazing study for me as I prepared. And I want somebody to read from Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32. And Jason, could I ask you to read that for us, please?
Sure, I'll be reading here from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
This is a very powerful verse. I've preached a couple sermons on this, and yet as I was reading, just last night going over this, something struck me. This is also a prophecy, in a sense, because he's saying, I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you return to me,
he could see that he was. Did Jesus have confidence in his prayer?
Yes.
He did, because he prayed and he says, when you return to me, he had confidence that his prayer would be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about the life of Peter and the circumstances in the courtyard and the things that he went through, because his faith didn't fail when he denied Jesus. Because I'm sure the tempter was there when he ran away crying to say, he will never take you back.
Mm-hmm.
And that just came into my, that thought came into my mind. But then I think that these words, the words of Jesus resonated in the mind of Peter.
Yes.
I'm just speculating, you know. He said, when I return to him,
yes.
And I imagine he started crying, he's going to take me back.
Yeah.
And he became a powerful preacher. Matter of fact, it wasn't very long after that, 3,000 were baptized because of a powerful sermon the day of Pentecost that Peter had given. This was just an amazing revelation to me as I read that verse. Jesus believed. He acted according to the prayer that he prayed. And that's important, especially even with our intercession, when we're interceding with prayer. Do we believe the request that we make, that God will answer the request we make to Jesus? So that was powerful. That was just a... Go ahead, Stephanie.
I think it's interesting, and I had heard a sermon that my brother had done on prayer, and the Lord's Prayer, and how most of it was focused on the spiritual aspect. And here again you see that he's praying for the spiritual aspect, mm-hmm. that your faith doesn't fail. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think intercession, intercessory prayer is for, that we pray for the spiritual part or the spiritual aspect of that person. Mm-hmm. God, do what you need to do to bring them to a closer relationship with you.
Mm. And so we know that prayer is connecting the soul to God, and we know that he has our best interest in mind. Well, there's a story we're going to read about in the Bible where somebody, one of God's disciples, is in some very dire circumstances. Mm-hmm. And a group of people, something interesting when I read this as well, prayed for him. Well, let's go ahead and read this before I want to explain. I'm excited. I want to get ahead of myself. But let's read here, I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 12, 1 through 5, 6 through 10, and then 11 through 17. I'm going to ask Nicole if you would read these verses for us.
Okay. The New International Version, Acts 12, 1 through 5 says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Mm-hmm. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." Mm-hmm. Verses 6 through 10 say...
Just hold it right there if we went, because it's interesting. It doesn't say that they met were earnestly praying for James, and he died. Mm. Now, I just want to say they realized that intercession is important. Mm-hmm. And now Peter is close to execution, and the church realizes that intercession is vitally important. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to pray, as Eric mentioned, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Mm-hmm. If this is the time that Peter will lay down his life, your will be done. But we are not going to sit idly by just looking. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray. Mm-hmm. And this chapter shows the power of united intercessory prayer. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they were praying that earlier on. Mm. And they say, "Wow, James died. Mm. We need to pray. Right. Mm-hmm. Peter's next."
Mm. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Derek, for sharing that. Something that also struck me is the church was praying, and then the next thing we see is they're praying in a home. And something dawned on me. We don't have to pray in the church. We don't have to all gather at the church.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there were any churches back then. There were no buildings, right?
The synagogues. And yeah,
that's true, but they had house churches.
Right. This was a house church, a group of people who cared for Peter praying. Continue, and I'm going to have you continue all the way through 17 for sake of time, and we'll discuss the story.
So 6 through 17 of the New International Version says, "The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place.
Wow, that's amazing really powerful. Story. That's an amazing story of intercessory prayer. We only got about a minute left, and so we want to discuss this get as much information as we can from this. The reaction when Peter showed up at the door?
They didn't believe.
Unbelief.
Unbelief. Yeah. But they were praying.
Yeah.
They were surprised that Peter showed up.
Yes.
That story always just catches my attention because I thought, why were they praying if they didn't believe?
Right.
Like you said earlier.
You know? But God still, you know, when we are weak, He is strong.
Amen.
And God is faithful even when we're not.
Yeah. Amen.
And He understands our weaknesses. And so what this story told me is that, Lord, even when I don't have the perfect prayer, you're still there
to
intercede on our behalf. There's many people who need our prayers.
Amen.
And I'd like to, you know, continue this discussion another 10 minutes, but short time. But there are people out there that we can intercede for.
Amen.
And we will be blessed, and so will they.
Amen.
Amen. Travis, thank you for that great study. You know, as the study was coming to an end, I thought of what the prophet Samuel said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against God by not praying for you."
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
What a privilege it is to intercede.
Yes.
And to do it with faith, with a joyful expectation that God is going to work. I love the fact that Peter's told, "Stand up." And it says, when he stood up, his chains fell off.
Mm.
We need to move forward in faith, even in our intercession for other people, believing in the power of Jesus, our awesome Savior and our strong deliverer. What a privilege it is. And I'm sure as we were studying today, you thought of people who need your prayers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit stirred your mind. There's someone who needs your prayers today. Prayer power is interceding for them in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray that God would guide us as we pray for others so that they can make friends with God and make friends for God.
Nice.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've been challenged by the study today. We've been challenged to be men and women who pray in the name of Jesus for other people.
Mm.
We believe your Holy Spirit can guide us in our prayers and even give us faith and courage to believe the miracles that you will work. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What an amazing series on making friends for God. Be a friend of God yourself and then go out and share that good news with those around you.